The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody, on this 15th day of June 2018. So, have we all read the 500 pages of the IG report? I've skimmed heavily, let's just say. And while it's 500 pages, the bottom line of this scathing report that justifies everything people have been saying about James Comey, from the president to me to maybe you, it is all vindicated. The 500 pages are distillable down to not even 30 words, and that is that the noble, honorable FBI has been tainted by the narcissism and self-absorption and malfeasance and incompetence of James Comey, and that the growing den of snakes at the FBI and the DOJ absolutely mobilized to prevent and undermine the election of Donald Trump. Period. There you go. We will examine this in detail. One of the first things we'll do is see what's going on in San Antonio at the Texas GOP convention. And we'll have a report from last night's congressional baseball game. All this and more awaits us. And that's before we even remind you, as if you need reminding, that it's Friday.
I feel good.
You want me to say
I feel good.
I would not.
So good. I got you.
So I got to thinking, nothing says Friday 7:05 in the morning to me like AC/DC, Have a Drink on Me. Make it a good strong coffee. Maybe some probiotics. A little V8. Juicier choice. 866-660-5759. Happy Friday. Happy Father's Day weekend. From a dad to all the dads thinking about my dad. I have some thoughts on that. We have a lot to think about and a lot to talk about today. You want to hop to townhall.com, or I put it up on Twitter on the Mark Davis Show Facebook page. Cranked out a column last night on this scathing IG report. You've heard Hugh Hewitt go into it in detail. I'm going to sort of a broader overview and some of what people are saying about it. Rudy Giuliani was on fire last night about it on Hannity. I have a question for you. How in the world does Peter Strzok have a job? How in the world? Rudy thinks he should be in jail. How in the world can anybody walk around and not say that the FBI has been infiltrated by a den of snakes? The Department of Justice under Loretta Lynch was always such, and that there was an obvious attempt to undermine the ascendancy of President Trump. Thank God it didn't work. Thank God he won. And Hillary gets snarky. This woman gets snarky on Twitter last night, lays out all this stuff, all this various stuff about the ins and outs of the IG report. And then just three words, but my emails, like poking fun at us for obsessing about that. Mrs. Clinton, it was your mishandling of national security information that got you in well-deserved trouble. So we have this. We have a lot to talk about today. 2 hours from now, our buddy Tom Giovanetti at the Institute for Policy Innovation will join us with his take on what's going on at the Texas Republican Convention in San Antonio. But where better to begin than with an actual big-time county party chair, Dallas County GOP Chairwoman Missy Schori in San Antonio. How you doing, Missy?
I'm outstanding. Thanks for having me on today, Mark. We are really, really pumped down here in San Antonio.
Well,
it just red everywhere.
Indeed so. And it is Texas, and we are a red state, and the blue wave is a mirage, but we cannot rest on laurels. We cannot be overconfident. I want to talk about that in a minute, and also about the seeming coming battle for state GOP chair and some of the other things that are going on. But first, let me just offer it to you open-ended. What was your first day like? What seems to be the big vibe? What do people want to think about, talk about, and act on at the Republican convention?
Well, you know, we've got something new this year, which is called the Legislative Committee, that is headed up by Amy Clark, our vice chair. And that way, I was actually speaking with Representative Matt Rinaldi in our district. I said, hey, what do you think about this? Do you feel like you're being dictated to or anything like that? He's like, absolutely not. This is wonderful because we're able to say, look, the party is united on this issue, as opposed to perhaps someone thinking, oh, this is being divided by one end of the party or the other. Instead, as we go into the 2019 legislative session, there's unity. And I would say the overarching theme, even though, yes, there will be a contentious race in a little bit of time from now, but that's why we do it at 8 a.m., get it over in the morning for state chair, and then we move on to getting at the business at hand, which is how we're going to win in November on our values.
Okay, so that thing you just described is called the legislative...
So they have a legislative priorities committee, which
right.
is new this year.
Uh-huh.
And so they issue out, they meet and they issue out what are things that we believe in 2019 are important issues to be looking at. And so they'll be releasing their report. And that'll be something that I think people would be wise to take a look at. I mean, it's going to show you where everybody's united and where things are going to go from here. Because it's one thing to go to a convention and, yes, there's lots of politics, but it's another to say, you know what, we're ultimately here to lead.
All right, let's talk a little bit about leadership. I had the pleasure of speaking to James Dickey a couple of times. He is the current Republican Party chair. He faces a challenge from Cindy. Is it Ash or Ashy?
Ash.
Yes. A-S-C-H-E. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I'm going to ask you where your thoughts lie on this, but what's been your association with Mr. Dickey and your assessment of his state leadership?
Sure. Well, in fact, I saw both candidates last night at receptions that they were hosting, both of which were well attended. So we've got a real race on our hands. And for anybody to say otherwise, I think is a little bit, you know, misputting. But the most important thing is, from my perspective, is, you know, when we did the MLK Day parade right there in Dallas, one of the largest in the entire Southeast, if not the country, Chairman Dickey was there with us. And Chairman Dickey has been very supportive of what's going on in Dallas. He understands the needs of urban counties. And so that's something that's really wonderful. And he's also put in great team members down at the RPT who are really responsive. When county chairs have a need, they're there. And whenever, for example, I don't know about, you know, all the complexities that go into an election. If you need additional guidance, that's been there. So when you look at what the functions the party is supposed to be able to provide, they have certainly been able to do that. At the same time, I would say Cindy Ash is a formidable competitor. She's serious about this race. She's a woman of substance. She's actually up from the North Texas region, and she's been campaigning throughout the state for months. So, like I said, you know, don't count anything until all the votes are in, and I suspect that will be, you know, we'll know by, say, around 10 a.m. this morning, if not a little sooner.
Just as everything in the world now is, some of this is seen through the lens of support for President Trump. Cindy Ash self-identifies as somebody who's been on board with Trump from the beginning. I assume Mr. Dickey is somewhat on board now, but he was part of that Free the Delegates movement. He was a Ted Cruz guy like I was. It took me a millisecond to pivot to Donald Trump. Mr. Dickey took a little longer. Is Mr. Dickey sufficiently on board with Trump to garner the favor of the 9,000 delegates down there with you, most of whom are thoroughly on board with the president?
Well, you know, the most important thing to do is look at what's now. And so, you know, yes, you are correct about your history, and thank you for all the good research that's there. What I would say is this. It's real simple. We're all with the president. And some people wish the president would tweet more. Some wish you tweet less. I mean, that's really our big debate, if you will, on the president at this standpoint. And, you know, I certainly understand how some people look at him and go, oh, my gosh, but look at what happened this week in North Korea. Now, to your point, I'm not trying to dodge the question. Just because I know how, I don't want to. I think the important thing is, when I was here in 2016 as a delegate, you know, we had the senator speaking where he wasn't even using the name of President Trump, okay? He was referring to him as the nominee. Let me tell you, there's been no bigger fan and friend of the president than the senator himself. And so with his leadership, people that were backing him, and there's nothing wrong with loyalty, have all fallen in line. That's really, that's where things are going. And I think that's what drives the Democrats crazy, is that we're literally all united. And then look at those results in South Carolina. It shows you we're 100% with our president.
I mean, if a guy who called President Trump a cancer on conservatism, that would be Rick Perry. you know your quote said exactly, can now be on the Trump cabinet. It gives every, I mean, Ted Cruz obviously has, that had to be a tough road for him. But now the president has no stronger ally. People have made the journey. There's some people who have not made the journey. If Mr. Dickey has, then I'm totally prepared.
I have seen nothing to the contrary that he hasn't.
Very,
I mean,
good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, then, okay, let me just ask the last thing on this then. Just if you're a betting woman, who wins?
I don't bet.
Okay, if you're not a betting woman, who wins?
You know, I cannot say, because I don't want to, you know, I will tell you, when people have asked me that, Mark, my job is to be county chair. And
understand,
my job is to have as much unity as humanly possible.
Understand.
And I respect that people come from different sides. Hey, by the way, I can't help but remind everybody a little bit of kind of some Texoma history here. You know, when you talk about the FBI right now, I mean, let's talk about collusion. That is collusion, what we see in that IG report. That's where the real collusion is. Remember, the FBI was founded because there was no other form of justice to protect the Osage Indians from being robbed and murdered up in Oklahoma at the beginning of the 20th century. And to see where they've gone since then is just very powerful. There's a Texas writer who actually wrote Murder of the Summer Moon. I cannot recommend it highly enough, that outlines how this all happened. It is just, it makes the history even more intolerable.
Look at the literary brain on Missy Shorey. Look at this. She got a book club going. She's got all kinds of handicap of her various state party races. Last thing, because I did actually want to talk about this in a meeting at the Gonzales Convention Center in San Antonio, like 9,000 Republicans gathered for the convention. Did this IG report make a ripple? Was it a subject of some conversation?
I think it's just another, if you will, arrow in the quiver in terms of this is just so wrong. I mean, and how much more is the American people are we willing to take? Now, I'll tell you, the 9,000 delegates here, we're no fools. And remember, this is the largest convention. It's actually larger than the national convention.
Exactly.
So it is. It's sexy.
How great is that?
It's wonderful, I got to tell you. But, you know, it's one of these things where people weren't talking about it directly because they actually come here with a role to perform that they represent people. So they're really focused on what's at hand here. But as far as the issues around the IG report, I mean, it's just a certain level of, and what else? What other proof do we need for people to finally wake up to say, you know, the things that our president says that may seem crazy at first, the man tells the truth when it comes to this. And it's really important that we look at that and we look at the leadership he's providing. We wanted somebody to go in and shake things up in Washington. We certainly have it.
All right, very last thing, and it's, I don't want to sit here and make people overconfident by saying that the blue wave was a mirage, it won't reach the shore, but these folks walking around, you know, saying that Beto is going to beat Ted Cruz, or that, you know, Lupe Fiasco is going to be governor instead of Greg Abbott, or quite frankly, that Pete Sessions is vulnerable, no, no, and no.
Yes, yes, and yes, if we have the biggest problem in the world, which is voter apathy, it's real simple. We have to turn our vote out, especially in Dallas County. Dallas County is 100% winnable for Republicans and for independents who care about our state. But I tell you, if you let it go unchecked, if you think that those Beto signs are a barometer of what's going on, then we have a problem. It is not. It is a blue haze. But our job is to make sure it never forms into a cloud that could rain. And I take not a single day for granted.
And
that's why
that's
we're
smart.
Here.
That is smart, because this is the difference between talk show hosts and party chairs. I can get this 30,000-foot level and say what I think's going to happen, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Missy's job is to know that the stuff I'm saying is true, but know that it carries a danger, that we cannot be complacent. We cannot be overconfident. We can't look at this blue wave and sneeze at that and say, well, I don't need to vote, and then wake up and find out that we have made a horrible mistake. We've been insufficiently passionate and allowed somebody to either win or come uncomfortably close. So listen, let's get way local there at the county level. Can Todd Gottheil beat Clay Jenkins for county judge?
It will be very interesting. It would be lovely to see that happen. The thing is, you know, Clay Jenkins is playing with the people's money. He's not taking things seriously, and he literally goes in and ramrods whatever he wants through. His concept of democracy is certainly not one that we share.
So, all righty. Well, listen, taking a look at things from the local perspective, carrying it down to the statewide perspective, Dallas County GOP Chairwoman Missy Schori from the state convention, she and 8,999 other delegates, our convention, bigger than the GOP national convention. We love it that way. Missy, thank you. Have a great rest of the weekend. We appreciate you always.
Thank you, Mark.
You bet. Take care. Missy Schori, Dallas County GOP chair. Already 866-660-5759. Some thoughts on that IG report. Next, I'm Mark Davis, 722.
Everybody knows you've been stepping on my toes, and I'm getting pretty tired of it.
You're going to love today's musical birthdays. Quite the eclectic mix. First up, born 81 years ago today, Waylon.
You got the only daddy that'll walk the line.
Siri, Waylon passed, about 15, 16 years ago, but today would have been Waylon Jennings' 81st birthday. I'm going to go ahead and front load these so you know what's coming. Also on the birthday list today, a vocalist and keyboards for one of my favorite bands ever, Kansas, the crazy Steve Walsh, is 67. Harry Nilsson, who did a couple of hits of his own but wrote many things for others, would have been 77. He's been dead for 24 years. And a guy who is a we're going to rock out with a band I don't think I've ever played. They were kind of a momentary fascination for me in the 70s, as were many things. Anybody into Slade? Naughty Holder, lead for the front man for one of the more interesting British bands, as a birthday today too. So that's an eclectic musical mix. All right, it was quite the mix of reactions yesterday as this damning IG report comes out, confirming much of the worst of what people have feared and highlighted in terms of the corruption and skullduggery at the FBI and the DOJ. And last night on Hannity, Rudy let a rip.
Supplied 1.4 million documents. And who are we supplying them to? People who have already concluded to frame Donald Trump. Agents who started a phony Russia investigation. That's the whole core of this. That's why the investigation should be suspended. And I'm talking for myself now, not the president. But I believe he would agree with this. A very serious investigation has to be done of the FBI agents at the very top, by FBI agents who are honest, in order to prosecute them. President Trump has said over and over again to me, I did nothing wrong. How could this be? Well, now we know how it is, because these people fixed it. That's how it is. Read this if you're not disgusted, and you don't demand that the Justice Department begin this investigation and suspend the one of the president and all the people that have been tortured by it. I believe that Rod Rosenstein and Jeff Sessions have a chance to redeem themselves, and that chance comes about tomorrow. It doesn't go beyond tomorrow. Tomorrow, Mueller should be suspended, and honest people should be brought in, impartial people, to investigate these people like Strzok. Strzok should be in jail by the end of next week.
Okay, a lot to chew on there, and I get his point, but one of two things is true. Either the Mueller probe is so tainted and so reputationally destroyed that it should be taken off the track, that it should be hit with a pause button, it should be suspended, or It is so ineffective and ineffectual and such a joke. Let it go. Get it the heck over with. Because if you suspend it, all a suspension means is you're hitting a pause button. Then that will enable people to say, all right, when can we get this probe going again with better people to look at the fiction of Trump-Russia collusion? There's a big voice in me that says, let this thing go. It is discredited. Its reputation is dashed against the rocks. So, Mr. Mueller, knock yourself out, sir. You and your den of snakes, you just go. You just keep at it. Pedal the metal. Do whatever you want to do. Let us have your little report whenever you're ready. And then we can all get on with the rest of our lives. Which of those resonates with you? 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis on 660 AM, The Answer, DFW, and Freedom 1160, San Antonio. 731, Gordon Griffin's in the newsroom. Told you it's going to be an eclectic day in the music library. Got a little Waylon, Only Daddy That'll Walk the Line. And for Steve Walsh's birthday, I'm going to go deep into the Kansas catalog. I can do Carry On Wayward Son. I can do that 14 times. This is Opus Insert from Left Overture. I love these boys. When Left Overture and Point of No Return, KNOW Return, and just all these, I was just college. I was at University of Maryland. It was my freshman year, my sophomore year, my junior year, and I caught Kansas a couple of times live, and the most recent time was at Billy Bob, Kansas at Billy Bob's in Fort Worth. Hey, whatever. And Billy Bob's been one of the most interesting venues forever because you can go there and see David Allen Coe back in the day, of course, but that's also where I've seen Nugent three times at REO Speedwagon in Kansas. The Minix, boy, what a party they put on over there at Billy Bob. So Steve Walsh's birthday will give you some Kansas deep cuts today. All right, let me give you some deep thoughts today. This is, I figure it's as good a time as any for me to share my town hall column on this IG report, because I think this sort of sums up where we are with this thing. And then we'll see what Mike Gallagher thinks. We'll do that obviously throughout all of this. Our prime interest is in what you think. 866-660-5759. 866-660-5759. My column title is "The Reputation of the FBI Can Be Rescued. James Comey's Cannot." It begins as follows. Quote, "We've got some work to do." End quote. FBI Director Christopher Wray was precisely correct in his comments following the release of the scathing Inspector General's report with the official title, "A Review of Various Actions by the Federal Bureau of Investigation and Department of Justice in Advance of the 2016 Election." It runs 500 pages, but the bottom line can be distilled in less than 30 words. An honorable FBI has been tainted by the mishandling of the Clinton investigation by former Director James Comey and corrupted by the blatant political bias of officials working beneath him. The report effectively destroys the image of Comey that he sought to paint in his sanctimonious, condescending book. It bolsters the various criticisms of him for taking actions based on his own whims rather than facts and the law. It finds no discernible political motive for the bizarre 2016 news conference in which he described a long list of Hillary Clinton misdeeds, only to conclude that charges were not appropriate. That was not his call to make, and it was just one example, the IG report cites, of Comey venturing outside standard procedures. He concealed the content of his observations from the Department of Justice and instructed his staff to do the same, which the report calls extraordinary and insubordinate. Comey would do well to invest the proceeds wisely from the now ironically titled "A Higher Loyalty: Truth, Lies, and Leadership." His loyalty was clearly not placed at the lofty levels he advertised, but if he was not in the tank for Hillary, what was his motivation? Partisans have instantly doubted the report's rejection of a political purpose, but it's not hard to imagine Comey faced with strong evidence of crimes by Hillary Clinton, yet blanching at the prospect of sparking a prosecution that would have destroyed her presidential campaign. He would go down in history as the FBI director who changed an election. That would be a daunting act, but it was his job. The higher loyalty of the FBI and Department of Justice is to follow, as the iconic saying goes, wherever the evidence leads. Comey did not do that. Heaven knows Attorney General Loretta Lynch was not likely to do that. But even if they had aspired to their job descriptions, the Department of Justice's own analysis might have impeded progress. Much was made in the summer of 2016 that Mrs. Clinton's long list of misconduct appeared to feature negligence rather than specific intent. But can't we find prison cells filled with people whose crimes were not intentional, but sufficiently stunningly heedless that the law was broken? The IG report cites prosecutor logic that absurdly blurs the line between neglect and intent, requiring, quote, a state of mind so gross as to almost suggest deliberate intention, something that falls just short of being willful. In the dictionary and the real world, intent means intent and neglect means neglect. The conflation of these concepts spurred James Comey to his fatuous assertion that, quote, no reasonable prosecutor would pursue the case, even though Clinton's actions had been, in his words, grossly negligent. While Comey's flaw may have been an insufficient spine to do what the evidence called for, no such excuse exists for the growing den of snakes among FBI officials, whose distaste for Trump now stands as sad evidence of the politicization of the investigative process. Nonetheless, Director Wray was also correct when he said Thursday, quote, nothing in this report impugns the integrity of our workforce as a whole or the FBI as an institution. Of course, in fact, no one has made such a broad criticism. And despite ridiculous claims that his Twitter rants constitute an attack on the rule of law, even President Trump has never suggested that the FBI is rotten to the core or that its political hostilities are pervasive. But they are enough to tarnish a once gleaming image. They are enough to create doubt as to the FBI's reliability in past probes of Hillary Clinton and the current probe of Trump-Russia collusion. The good news is that with Comey gone, Wray has a chance to make clear that partisan aggressions will no longer be tolerated at his FBI. Uncorrupted FBI agents and staff, who comprise the vast majority, should be able to usher the Bureau into a new season of redeemed standing. But Comey is done. He may rake in a ton of cash from that silly book or score a weekend cable show on MSNBC, but we won't hear much more of the treacly praise of him as some gleaming example of judgment and leadership. The FBI deserves every opportunity to purge itself of its malcontents and return to its prior stature. James Comey deserves to slink away to obscurity, or hopefully he can find peace and a productive life. But his days of snowing us as some self-proclaimed pillar of law enforcement virtue are over. There you go. For your listening and dancing pleasure, my town hall column, The Reputation of the FBI Can Be Rescued, James Comey's Cannot. I crave the Mike Gallagher take. And yours. You're on the phone at 866-660-5759. Mike is linked up via the Magic Satellite. We'll talk to him next. I'm Mark Davis. It's 746. All over the place. It is awesome. Steve Walsh of Kansas has a birthday. Waylon Jennings has a birthday. And this guy, total genius, Harry Nielsen from Nielsen Schmielsen. Remember that, 1971? Remember, Without You Can't Live If Living Is Without You? He didn't even write that. Pete Ham and Joey Mollen did of Badfinger. So we're all over the place musically, and boy, was I all over the place just diving into the 500 delicious pages of the IG report with more Here's Mike Gallagher.
I was up till about 2:30 in the morning reading it, and that's it was some fascinating. Good read.
Man, some of these texts, not even Strzok and Page, those aren't even the worst texts anymore.
I know.
The people talking about Trump, FBI 400 people.
Million people voting against him. There's no way anybody could vote for him.
The Trump voters are lazy pieces of S.
POS.
What?
Retarded. Retarded from Ohio. Yeah, they've got, they hold the American people in real high esteem, don't they?
You got that right.
Well, we got a little great little opportunity. If you haven't gotten the report and you want to read it, because it is worth every bit of it, all you have to do is text the keyword report to 800-655-6453. We'll send you the full report in a link. So it's kind of a one-stop shop. So if you're interested, just text keyword report to 800-655-6453. We will send you the full report, and you'll get to page through it at your leisure. And, here we go again. Can I take you back in time, Mark?
Of course.
Let's rewind the time machine. Donald Trump decides to fire James Comey. Oh, he is out of control.
Authoritarian autocrat. Oh.
Lost his mind. This must be. Oh, look who gets vindicated over the firing of James Comey. The insubordinate James Comey. The James Comey who didn't follow protocols, policies. Everybody acknowledges he came out of this worse than anyone. And once more, President Trump was vindicated. How many times does this guy get vindicated before even his staunchest critics say, you know what? Maybe the guy knows what he's doing. Maybe he's on to something. Maybe he's got great political instincts. Maybe he knows what's right.
Some will do that. Some folks will do that. Most of his harshest critics, if they still are a year and a half in, are irretrievable. They're absolutely. I mean, your buddy Pete Wehner, I get his emails, and Pete's a good guy, godly man, but he's got the mental illness, man. He's got and he said after 8 years of Obama and after the Clinton years, all of which he lived through, and after decades of lies from the left, he continues to focus in a manic way on the disregard for truth that is here in the Trump era. What? And I don't mean to beat on Pete, but
I saw a column last night. Mediaite writer, guy by the name of John Ziegler, and John Ziegler used to have a radio show, and he's a interesting character. He wrote a piece. He's pulling for the Democrats to crush the Republicans.
I know.
He's a lifelong Republican, and he's voting across the Democratic ticket. It's the only way to stop Trump.
And you know what? I want to give Ziegler, who's a piece of work, another type of piece. I thank him for his honesty. At least he does what a lot of the other never Trumpers don't do, and that is admit that he has now been driven into actual allegiance and siding with the Democrats.
Yeah, but it's still a form of derangement.
Oh,
it's
completely.
Still to say I'm going to vote
he's
for Democrats.
He's flipped out. He's abandoned conservatives.
Vote for my mortal enemy.
Of course.
I mean, that just shows you how really goofy this stuff has gotten. We want to break down these text messages a lot. We're going to kind of get the whole And by the way, the Clinton world isn't any happier with Comey than Trump world. I mean, as far as the Clinton supporters are concerned, Comey cost Clinton the election. You know, the October 5th press conference, they completely blame for the defeat.
Yep.
And so how about this little tidbit? James Comey didn't know Anthony Weiner was married to Clinton aide Huma Abedin.
Exactly, which means that they were playing fast and loose with somebody whose identity they didn't even know. He could say, well, they both are high, lofty position people. We can give them some deference. As far as they were concerned, they were just people.
Right. It was the president's birthday yesterday. This has really been a very, very good week for
the
him.
The gift that keeps on giving.
He's just had an incredible week.
Sure
and,
has.
And I'm just so happy for him. We just got to keep chugging away. We got a lot of stuff to tackle. There's more news on the horizon. Of course, there's this ridiculous lawsuit, this liberal Democrat.
Brand new New York Attorney General.
Right. Which was great because that was the crap file I always talk about?
That's right. Got to go to it.
They got to go to the crap file.
Whenever Trump has the Mike's theory. Whenever Trump has a great glowing victory or a great week, they go to the crap file, something they can find that they can somehow torturously concoct into a bad moment of news for him.
And they did it. They did it yesterday. Yep. They filed suit against Trump's foundation. Now, get this. It's like $900 million, I think. There's no overhead, no expenses. And, in fact, they doled out more than they took in. and somehow they're breaking the law, you know, and it's just a purely political hackery, and but that's the crap file.
Listen, it is indeed, and do me a favor, have a great week next week. I'm out next week, vacation time, and Paul Weiser will be here.
You work, actually take more time off than you work on.
Stop it.
I need your deal. Who negotiated your deal?
Stop talking.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You're gone the time.
I'll be listening. Talk to you a week from Monday.
All right. Going too, though. A couple weeks I'm heading out.
There you go.
I'm Vegas bound.
Yeah, I'm either staying home or going out to East Texas. You go to Fiji.
I'm going to Vegas.
Let's do the destination comparison.
I'm ready for I'm going to Hawaii with a group of listeners in August.
See, told you, Mike got to run. Thank you, man.
A group of listeners.
Happy. It's not a vacation. Mark Davis and Mike Gallagher coming up right after we're done on 660 AM. The Answer at AM 930. The Answer San Antonio.
Hi.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.